I did not see a temple in the city because the Lord God Almighty, the Lamb, are its temple. The city does not need the sun or the moon to shine on it, for the glory of God gives it light. And the Lamb is its lamp. The nations will walk by its light, and the kings of the earth will bring their splendor into it. On no day will the gates ever be shut, for there will be no night there. The glory and honor of the nations will be brought into it. Nothing impure will ever enter into it, will anyone that is shameful or deceitful, but only those whose names are written in the Lamb's book of life. And skipping down, the angel said to me, "These words are trustworthy and true. The Lord, the God of the spirits of the prophets, sent his angel to show his servants the things which must soon take place. Behold, I am coming soon. Blessed is he who keeps the words of this prophecy." Sixth blessing. Verse 12, "Behold, I am coming soon. My reward is with me, and I will give to everyone according to what he has done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end." And seventh blessing, chapter 22 and verse 14, blessed are those who wash their robes, that they may have the right to eat from the tree of life and may go through the gates to the city. Let us seal the gates of the garden, lest they stretch forth their hand and take from the tree of life and live. We weren't ready. By the blood of the Lamb and the testimony of Yeshua, we have been invited back to paradise with God. We're going home. We're going home. And suddenly what happened to me in 1990 as I entered the city of Jerusalem began to make a whole lot of sense. I'm home. I'm home. These tears are real. I'm home. I have to tell you a story in closing, because I need you to understand my passion and why I do what I do. In 1993, after returning from a trip to Israel, I knew that the Lord was calling me to a different type of ministry, what I'm doing now. A month or so later, I received a letter and a phone call from a ministry in Texas inviting me to come be their associate evangelist, teaching Bible prophecy in the very way that I have done with you this week. Believing that I had been told that that ministry was already mine, I resigned my ministry. I was wrong. The position went to someone else. But I knew that the Lord had called me to declare the soon return of Jesus. I squandered around for about 4 months in Liberty, Indiana, after my last Sunday in June, seeking God and trying to figure out, "Lord, what exactly is it that you want me to do?" I finally got the courage to say to God, "All right, you've called me to do this. I'm going to do it. I don't know how, but I will do it." In September of 1993, I had been back to Oklahoma City, but I needed to come back to Indiana to retrieve some of my things that were still in Liberty, Indiana. En route back, I had to make a stop to a church in Leroy, Illinois, where I had one meeting scheduled in November of 1993. That was the only meeting I had pending at the time. I wanted to meet with the elders and explain what exactly it was that I wanted to do and hoped to accomplish. We instantly had a wonderful bond with this leadership, and especially with the minister. When I got ready to leave his office, he said to me, "Brent, I knew we were going to work together. This was a divine appointment. I thought, what are you talking about? I'd never heard that term before. He said, I knew in my spirit a year before that we would be working together like this. I thought that was pretty odd at the time, to be quite honest with you. But the next morning, as I got in my van, my parents' van, I began to head east on I-74 from Illinois to Liberty. That morning, while in the van, I began to pray. Lord, I just want to be on your to-do list today. When this day is done, I want to know that you have been able to check off, you know how we do our little checklist. Lord, I just want to know that you are pleased with me and that I have been faithful in doing the things you want me to do. Lord, I want today to be a divine appointment. It would be much later that I would learn that that term is the exact same term God uses for the Sabbaths and the feast days that he uses to set the pattern. I was driving down the road and I saw a sign for a little town called Vetersburg, Indiana. And one of your dearly loved Timothys, Todd Winkler, at that time was the youth minister of that church. Prior to leaving Liberty, I had done a meeting for them. And I began to quandary out loud whether or not I would take time to stop and see Todd. About a quarter of a mile from the exit, I blurted out loud, you know how you talk to yourself in the car? You do, and you know it. Look at me like I'm nuts. You talk to yourself too. And I blurted out, no, I'm not going to do it. I have an appointment in Liberty. I'm just going to keep going. Folks, the Holy Spirit is not an it. He is a he. And he has a will. And on that particular day, at that particular moment, he made his will known. And it was something like this. Oh yes, you are. And from the top of my head to the sole of my feet, I knew I had been told, you are getting off and you are going to that church. And being the humble person that I was after recovering from the shock and the fear of that moment, I began to wonder why I was going. And I thought to myself, well, poor Todd, he must need me to cheer him up. I got there and I began to talk to Todd about my ministry and, to be quite honest, completely downplayed the nature of my ministry. Well, I want to preach revivals and crusades, and I want to focus on preaching out of the book of Revelations. And I think I said something generic like portraits of Jesus in the book of Revelation, you know, hide the prophecy as much as I could and, sort of get in and say what I wanted to say and then run out and run for my life. Todd began to laugh. I said, Todd, what are you laughing about? He said, you're not going to believe this. We have a revival scheduled in 3 weeks. And our evangelist just called and canceled on us. That morning, in the van, I had been praying, Lord, I have one meeting between now and the end of the year. I can't survive on one meeting. I know it's late in September, but I need a meeting in October. And I know it's short notice. See, I was under the impression that all these ministers worked 6 to 8 months in advance. Well, was I wrong? That was my first introduction to divine appointment. I went on to Liberty, did the things I had to do, and all of that is just to set the stage for the real story that I want to tell you. Because I had a couple former football players in Southern Indiana at different schools, I wanted to go see them and encourage them on my way back. Spent the first night in Albany, New Albany. The next morning drove on to Evansville. While I was driving between New Albany and Evansville, I had a time of prayer in the van. I don't know why I have such powerful prayer times in the vehicles, but it just works out that way. And that day I prayed very specifically some things that I needed to hear from the Lord about. About 3 o'clock, I left my friend's house in Evansville and got up on the road, began to drive west. I was not yet in Illinois. The van was packed. I was just getting settled back into the road thing. And the Holy Spirit did something that I cannot tell you that He does on a regular basis, but on this occasion He did. The Holy Spirit spoke to me more clear than He has ever spoken. I don't believe I heard it with my ears, but it was so loud internally I thought that I had. And He said one word. He said, Carlisle. That's what I thought. Carlisle. Now, folks, I want to tell you, it scared me to death. I think there's still permanent dents in the steering wheel. I grabbed the steering wheel and was absolutely petrified. And I began babbling like Peter on the Mount of Transfiguration. So, you want to put up a tent, have a barbecue? What do we do here, Lord? And I said, Lord, Carlisle, person, place, or thing. I even asked Him to spell it. I was scared to death. I was a babbling fool. And He just kept saying it. Carlisle. And I don't know why. Well, I do. The Holy Spirit pitied me. I blurted out, okay. If there's a place called Carlisle, I'll go there. Now, I was on I-64. I don't travel I-64. I travel I-70. I've since found out there is an exit for a town called Carlisle on I-70, but I had never noticed it. About an hour later, of course, I'm immediately looking for a place called Carlisle. Nothing happens. About an hour and a half later, I've put it out of my mind, and I'm about an hour east of St. Louis when I look up, and there's an exit sign for Carlisle, Illinois. Now, I want to back up and tell you what I had asked the Lord that morning. You have to understand that I was very devastated the way my ministry ended in Indiana and the subsequent thinking I had a position and then not. So I began to tell the Lord, Lord, I feel a little bad about something. I have named my ministry Maranatha Ministries, and I really didn't get Your blessing. Lord, I don't want to mess this one up. I have got to know, even to the selection of the name, that You are in this. I can't do this again. I thought I knew what You were doing, and I was wrong. God, I know You don't care if it's Doodah Ministries, but I care that You know what name it is and give it the blessing. I chose Maranatha because it's a second coming word, it's a prayer word, and it's a revelation word. These are all the things I thought the Lord was calling me to talk about. The second thing I prayed was, Lord, so I asked, I need confirmation of the name. The second thing I prayed was, Lord, I need to know that this is what You've called me to do. I mean, it's one thing to stand up and preach the soon return of Jesus, but I can do that in a located pulpit. Are You telling me to establish this ministry as a separate entity? I've got to know, Lord. I don't want to get 6 months down the road and waste people's money. I need confirmation that You have called me to establish this ministry. The third thing I prayed was, Lord, our people do not take kindly to someone telling them Jesus is coming soon. I have to know, is this what You are telling me to say? Now, folks, I wasn't asking for more information than the Bible already gives. I already know we're in the last days. I was asking, is this what You're telling me to say to the people? So I see the sign for Carlisle, and I'm petrified. And I get off the road, and the first thing I see is a sign that says Carlisle is 15 miles north. And I said, huh, Lord, I'm an hour east of St. Louis. I got 10 on the other side. Let's make this really obvious. I drive to Carlisle, having no idea why I am going. And I get to the outskirts of Carlisle, and there's a farmhouse off to the right. The big, long road that comes, lane that comes down to the road that I was on. At the entrance to this particular house's drive, there is a elevated ranch-style type gated, like the Lazy Bee or something like that. This one wasn't the Lazy Bee. This one was the Maranatha Revelation 22:21. The name and the verse from which I take my name. After swerving to avoid the ditch and regain my composure, I went on into Carlisle and did what all great spiritual men of God do in a time of crisis. I went to McDonald's. The truth of the matter is, I was shaking so bad, I knew I had to get off the road. so I went in and got a Coke and sat down, started praying. I went and got back in the van, started heading back to that house. And I said, God, are you telling me to go to that house? And like a cookie roller, the Spirit just rolled over me from the head to my, you know, I always tell people my pinky toe knew the answer. And I thought, well, okay. So here I go driving up to a house in a town I've never been to or heard of to knock on a door, and I don't know why. And I'm picturing this. Hello, my name's Brent. God sent me. Now you have to understand, all this time I'm saying, Lord, this doesn't happen to Church of Christ Christian Church, guys. You're messing with my theology. But I went and I knocked on the door, and a senior adult lady will open the door, and the minute she did, about knocked me over. Her countenance about knocked me over. And she came to the door with a grin on her face, and I opened the door, and I did the next smart thing that great men of God do in crisis. I began to laugh in her face because I had nothing to say. And she began to laugh too, and I thought, this is a good sign. She's not running. Of course, I'm thinking to myself, if she says, come on in, I've been expecting you, I'm out of here. And so I said, ma'am, I'm sorry, my name is Brent, and for the life of me, I do not know why I'm here, but I think it has something to do with your sign. She said, come in, let me get my husband. She offered me a seat on her porch, went in. She did not come back. He came out carrying his Bible. I thought, Lord, he's not going to try to convert me, is he? I thought we had that covered. He sat down and we began to share. Now, folks, I like to be humorous with this story, but I am deadly serious. What experience I have ever had in my life else that happened from that moment on, I'd have put him in my little denominational bag. I'd have pigeonholed him. Later, he actually volunteered the information. In my heart, I was saying, God, I didn't ask. He just volunteered. I said, John, what is the Lord telling you? And if I had stopped him and said, now, John, don't answer that question until I give you a sheet of paper. And had I taken a sheet of paper and written on it everything that I felt God was telling me to say, and then had him read that back to me, it could not have been more exact.